We now bring to these microphones David James, and David and I will have a conversation, as we do on a weekly basis, with a focus on an issue that needs to be dealt with so that the body of Christ can have a better understanding, actually a biblical understanding, of how we should approach how we deal with these particular issues. Now, I say we're going to be talking with David. He's out in the Philippines. It's a couple of hours ahead of what we're actually doing right now. David, I hope I'm not keeping you up too late.
No, doing just fine, and actually look forward to talking with you. You know, we started doing this on a weekly basis when I was here back in February of last year. We've done about 80 of these over that time.
Wow, isn't that exciting? They're all posted on my website, prophecytoday.com, and I do believe on your website, too. Is that correct?
That's right. That is biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org.
And it'll be good for you to go to David's website. Other information available there as well. Well, before we get into today's topic, David, let's spend a few moments discussing the Jewish Sabbath year that ended 2 weeks ago on September the 13th, and the last full lunar eclipse in what has been called a blood moon tetrad, which will happen on Monday night. Talk to me about that.
Well, we've dealt several times with Jonathan Cahn's book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, and it was pointing to the end of the Jewish Sabbath year, which was on September 13th, and nothing happened. The markets stabilized, and nothing has happened since then, even though predictions of calamities were occurring. And then this blood moon tetrad ending actually happens, like you said, Monday night, and we're not in the tribulation, and of course the Lord could return, but it doesn't look like we're going to be in the tribulation by Monday.
Ariel, praise God for that. If the tribulation starts on Monday, we're out of here before. Nothing happened 2 weeks ago, and it's very likely that nothing will happen this coming week either. Now, these guys have already started moving the goalpost in case nothing does happen, or did happen, as we have been talking about. Is there a growing backlash against these predictions?
Well, there absolutely is. I've been keeping my finger on the pulse of the internet, and I'm getting notices and links to articles and web forums where people are just coming out of the woodwork calling this false prophecies and false predictions, and everything was rattled ahead of time, and everybody's saying what has happened. And it's a growing backlash for sure.
Well, we indeed focused on what everybody was talking about for September. Jim Jr. and myself talking about it for about 3 weeks. You and I touching different issues as it relates to the tetrad, the blood moon tetrad, and of course the Shemitah as well. Well, this week's subject is Pope Francis. He arrived here in the United States on Tuesday after traveling to Cuba.
Well, that's right. He arrived on Tuesday, and he met with the president on Wednesday, and they both spoke, and he spoke for about 20 minutes. Then he continued his travels in the U.S. to speak to the Congress and then the United Nations on Friday.
You know, it seems that Pope Francis has been received and welcomed across the world as being different personally and having a different approach to the papacy than any other pope in recent history, including John Paul II. Would you say that's the case?
Yes, I would. You know, John Paul II was definitely a populist pope and very popular and had broad appeal, but I would say Pope Francis has probably eclipsed him. He is beloved everywhere. He is seen as transformative, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that he has actually moved away from doctrine as a focus, which was a focus of John Paul II and the previous Pope Benedict XVI before him, and he has a pastoral approach, and a lot of people are focusing on what they call his pietism, and he even said at one point, let the theologians have their own island, and we'll just get on with business ourselves.
It's that philosophy that I believe even the body of Christ sometimes appropriate for their lifestyle. Let's love everybody, but don't talk about doctrine. This is not a good approach, is it?
Well, it's not. And, you know, I'm doing a pastor's conference right now in the Philippines, and my last session was talking about the importance of right doctrine and is focusing on 1 Timothy. And absolutely, these pastors are up against it because it's a worldwide phenomenon.
You know, a couple of days ago, there was an article in Christianity Today that pointed out that an increasing number of evangelicals are also embracing this pope and seemingly changing their views of Catholicism in general. Is that the case?
Well, it really is, and it's because of what we just talked about. There's this idea that doctrine divides, but love unites. And so the thinking is, let's just set aside doctrine and, like you said, get along together. And this pope is representing exactly that in the Catholic Church, which is actually an anomaly, because in the Catholic Church, everything is actually about doctrine, because the Catholic doctrine can't change. But this pope is actually representing change to a significant degree. And a lot of traditional Catholics are quite worried, because they see him bringing change through these practical approaches that actually are going to influence doctrine, kind of coming in through the back door.
You know, David, I've been aware of the fact that you've studied and taught about Roman Catholicism for over 30 years. We've worked together in many Bible conferences and also Bible institutes. How, from your background and experience and learning, how would you evaluate this movement, this change in attitude among evangelicals, especially some of the evangelical leaders, to Roman Catholicism?
Well, you know, it actually goes back, I think it has its roots in the moral majority that Jerry Falwell led in the early and mid-80s. And then it actually gained new life beginning in about 1984. Chuck Colson, Bill Bright were the head of that, and developed a document called Evangelicals and Catholics Together. Basically, the idea behind that is evangelicals and Catholics should refer to one another and consider one another brothers and sisters in Christ, with this broad brushstroke, without really focusing on the gospel and being born again. So what this pope is doing actually plays exactly into that perspective and this growing trend, and more evangelicals are thinking that way. In fact, there was a study done last year where every single leader in the National Association of Evangelicals agreed that Catholics and evangelicals should work together on social and cultural issues.
So although many seem to see evangelicals and Catholics coming closer together as a very positive and healthy change, how would you see it? Far differently, or are you agreeing with what they're saying?
It's absolutely a very serious problem. The Catholic Church, you know, it's not about being against individual Catholics. They've been misled. But the Catholic Church is a false church teaching a false gospel, saying that salvation comes by being baptized, and that's when you become a Christian, by participating in the sacraments and doing good works. Whereas the gospel that evangelicals have historically held to is that we are saved by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Catholic doctrine, by definition, can't change. So if there's movement of evangelicals and Catholics toward one another, the real movement can only come from the evangelical side. By definition, Catholics cannot change their doctrine.
And you would consider that something very dangerous as far as evangelicals are concerned?
Well, it absolutely is, and I think a lot of evangelicals are being deceived into thinking that Catholics are moving toward them as well. So what happens with setting doctrine aside, it causes a tremendously serious problem for evangelicals, that they're being deceived and pulled into a convergence that's moving us rapidly toward even the final one world religion, I believe.
Well, as you noted earlier, David, the pope addressed the United States Congress on Thursday, first time a pope has ever done that, and then he addressed the United Nations General Assembly on Friday. Was there anything significant in those two speeches that you noticed?
Well, I think in the one to the U.S. Congress, it was very much a political speech. Because of his pastoral approach and then combining that with politics, it fits right into what we're seeing with the merging, and we've talked about this, the merging between the political and the religious in the United States. and he talked about immigration issues. He talked about various cultural issues, and he's pulling liberals and conservatives together. And it's, again, moving toward this convergence. And in the UN, the significant thing there was that the Vatican flag was raised over the UN, which is a precursor to the Palestinian flag being raised on the 30th. And it was all because of a resolution that was passed. And the Pope, the Vatican, signed a treaty with the Palestinian state in June, which means that they officially recognized the Palestinian state. So this is all moving together with the UN looking to establish the Palestinian state, perhaps in the near future.
Well, you said a phrase right there, moving very quickly, I would say, closer to what the prophetic scenario calls for in Bible prophecy. We need to stay focused on that particular issue. In fact, let me ask you this final question. When we're talking about religious issues that involve over a billion, that's a B, a billion Catholics and a billion, another B, Protestants in these last days, it would suggest that there must be a biblical prophetic significance to all of this.
You're 100% correct. I've already mentioned convergence. And when we look at Revelation 17, there are many parallels and many aspects of imagery that seem to reflect things that we see in Rome. I think the One World Church is going to be bigger than Rome and what's coming out of Rome. But all of these things are pointing to us being on a fast track and setting the stage, as you always say, setting the stage for biblical prophecy with the rapture of the church and the tribulation coming prior to Christ coming to the earth to set up his kingdom.
Well, there's some negative about the Pope traveling around the world, in particular into the United States. But there's some positive as well. The rapture is going to take place seemingly very, very soon. And by the way, I'll talk about Revelation 17 in a moment when I take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today. David, we're praying for your sojourn out there in the Philippines. Have great opportunities to teach and preach the Word of God. We'll be lifting you up in prayer. Looking forward to our next conversation next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always good to be with you.